Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Rouse, your host in the new Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. We're glad today to welcome our guest, Kelly Luttman, who's a certified health coach, to help us to understand some things about diet. Kelly's been with us before. And, it's an amazing resource to this community for Kelly to be able to work with us and help us to just to have a better life. So welcome, Kelly. Glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. It's my passion to help Slidell get healthier.
And you're doing a great job at it. Thank you. You know, Kelly, one of the things that has been of interest to me is to note that rather than memorizing a list of do's and don'ts, that there's some general guidelines that we can follow that'll help us to live a healthier lifestyle. In your book, From Diet to Edit, you've helped us to see some general principles and tricks of the trade, if you will, that we can all apply. Mm-hmm. But there's more to it than that, and maybe you can talk to us a little bit about some of the other things we can do to live better.
Well, the concept of the book, From Diet to Edit, is that diets don't work, but if you learn to edit your approach, you can make edits on a sustainable basis, little by little by little, and improve your overall health. My business is Pursue Wellness. My heart and passion are pursuit of wellness. And one of the things that I see as a prominent change that people can make is adding color to their plate when they're eating. If you eat at a fast food restaurant, the general color that you're eating is bland, beige, brown, white, unless you add ketchup or mustard for a little yellow and red.
Okay.
And so one of the things I actually encourage my clients to do is to write down everything they eat for a day.
Okay.
All the different ingredients, the things that are on their plate, and then pull out their kids' crayons and color each item that they ate with the color that it was to see how many types of colors they're eating. And it's a great visual exercise to just explore what's missing, what's there, what's prominent. And a lot of times, most of our prominent foods in the standard American diet is white and brown. It's not as colorful. And if you think of colors as nutrients, colors are changed in fruits and vegetables based on the nutrients they entail, what they have ingredients-wise. I encourage my clients, okay, let's add some color. Green is one of the easiest first ones to add, and I encourage my clients maybe to make green smoothies and add greens into your smoothie in the morning. Easy ways to add greens: you can eat broccoli, you can eat leafy greens. There's all sorts of different options that you can add, and those greens represent nutrients into your body. Think about it, in the spring, what's the exciting thing about looking at nature? Things green up. The trees bud out into their leaves, and things are looking green and bright and colorful. And isn't that pleasing to your eye? Same way, it's an attraction to our body to eat those different colors.
Well, the implication seems to be that we need to start with fresh food.
Well, yeah, there's a good point, because if you overcook food, it loses its color and its nutrients. So yeah, the more fresh food that you eat, the better. And if you can't eat a lot of fresh produce, go for frozen without all the sauces and things added. Frozen food is the next best over canned food, because it's usually picked ripe and immediately processed the day it was picked. And so it tends to be fresher as a good source of colors and fruits and vegetables in your diet.
So something that's put into a can that survived 2 or 3 years on the shelf is probably not as good for us as something that was fresh frozen.
No,
fresh or fresh frozen.
Right, exactly. Cans have their time and their necessity, but there are actually coatings on the inside of the can that are chemical that can leach into the food. So that brings some more negative aspects, but it's just not fresh and lively.
Do you think it's necessary that we do all this organic stuff? Do I need to look for certain types of foods, or just a nice head of lettuce and a tomato will do fine?
Well, there is a time that organic is vital. Now, a lot of studies have been put out saying organic food isn't necessarily more nutritious for you. It's not so much what it has as what it doesn't have. Organic food doesn't have all the chemical pesticides on it. And that's where the highlight comes. You're not adding more chemicals and toxins into your body that stress your body and cause it to work harder to clean that out. Often with my clients, I do recommend some things to be organic, and you can actually kind of pick your battles. The Environmental Working Group has a website that they put out, EWG.org, that advises not only on the most toxic fruits and vegetables for pesticide residue, but also on skincare products and sunscreens, and it's a really good resource. But they actually put out a Dirty Dozen list every year where they test produce to determine what carries the highest residue of pesticides. And oddly enough, apples is usually at the top of the list, which is bummer because we think of apple as a natural, good, nutritious food. And so I make a real effort to get organic apples, if at all possible. Often greens are another or highly pesticide-laden food because the bugs love to eat it too. And so as it's growing in the field, they tend to apply more pesticides. Celery is another one that can be high in pesticides. But if anyone was interested, they can just go to EWG.org and search for the Dirty Dozen list, and they'll be able to find out what are the priorities to put in organics for your food.
So probably just in dealing with colors, probably things that are put in cans would be our last choice.
Right.
Things that would be frozen would be our next choice.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are fresh, regardless, would be a choice.
First choice.
And then things that are fresh, organic, like apples and certain ones like that, would be our first choice.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, if we work up the ladder, it's better to have frozen and to enjoy frozen than it is to do cans.
Yep.
So, I mean, we can kind of get a hierarchy in our mind of in doing the colors, what's the best?
Right, right. And sometimes people aren't sure about what kind of color or how do I cook this. They go into the produce section and all they do is grab a bag of apples and a bag of potatoes. Or, you know, there's so many other things there. I actually offer recipes in my book that gives them some ideas, some recipes that incorporate a lot of different color. We think of yellow and orange, and that one's easy. You think of lemons and limes and bananas and carrots and things like that. And those are great that add nutrients to your body. You can eat them raw or you can eat them cooked. Lemons and limes and oranges, squeezing those into your water, you can be boosting your electrolytes far more nutritiously than drinking a bottle of Gatorade or something like that. So there's so many nutrients that help different parts of our body. So if you look for all those different colors, you go into the produce section and you can just spot all the different colors and just kind of try to pick something out so that you've got the rainbow in your grocery cart.
So as much as anything else, it's just being aware that this is a necessary part of good health, is to make sure there's color in the diet and color on the plate.
Exactly.
Well, you know, we're talking about maintaining good health, but sometimes people have legitimate health issues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gathering from our conversation that food can be part of our medicine, that God created a wonderful mechanism, and the fuel for that is the food that we take. I think the field is called functional medicine, and that's an area that you're interested in and certified to serve in. What are some of your thoughts on food as a medicine?
Well, food is what our bodies have, since creation, used to fuel our body. It's what your body knows in a way to take the outside in. Food, I tell my clients, food is information for your body. It can be positive and it can be negative information. But a disease is not your body lacking a medication. A disease is your body lacking the building blocks and nutrients it needs to counter what's going on in its inside. Your body is naturally designed to heal itself if you give it what it needs to do so. And that's what I work on, helping my clients identify and find.
So even some of the old adages, you know, chicken soup, chicken noodle soup, if you have a cold, you know, things like that might help to reinforce the idea that this has been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah. An apple a day is a really genuine, beneficial recommendation. Yes.
Well, as we talk about food as medicine, how does one approach this? I mean, your book talks about editing, and it talks about editing our diet, mm-hmm. our lifestyle. We can get into some pretty serious health issues. What role can functional medicine play in helping to overcome situations in our body that mm-hmm. maybe were induced in the first place by lack of nutrition?
Right. Well, the first thing I usually talk with my clients about is shifting their diets so that they're not continuing to depress their body, but they're feeding their body what it's going to need. So what I share in my book, From Diet to Edit, is the basics that I teach a lot of my clients. But then I look at their symptoms, and I'm looking for signs with the different symptoms that they have. I actually read lab work, so if they have lab work from their doctor, I can look at the labs in comparison with their symptoms and determine, are they not digesting their food well? Are they low in B12 because their body is low in stomach acid? One of the first things I teach my clients is your acid reflux is not having too much stomach acid. It's actually having too little. And because the response for that a doctor would make, taught him by the pharmaceutical company, is to take something that would further depress that acid reflux, you're actually further depressing your body's ability to get the nutrients it needs. Now, the acid reflux can be because you're hypothyroid, it can be because you're too low in stomach acid, and we typically, as we age, reduce our stomach acid production, so we need to supplement in different ways. There's some easy ways to supplement stomach acid as you eat a meal to promote better digestion downstream, so to speak. But I look really at what are the labs telling me your body is deficient in, nutrition-wise, and then what are your symptoms saying about, you know, are you low in B12? Are you low in zinc? Do you have a congested liver that shows in your liver enzymes and alkaline phosphatase? There's a variety of different areas that I look at that a doctor isn't trained to look for, because they are looking for, are you within the reference range of your lab work? The reference range just means you're kind of normal. But I don't want to be normal, I want to be optimal, and your optimal and my optimal might be a little bit different. And so I look for sweet spots in there and help my clients adjust.
Well, you know, medicine has been with us, doctors mm-hmm. are here. It's a necessary part, in many cases it's a necessary part of our lives. I know that some of the work that you've done is even helping people who are in chemo mm-hmm. For pretty serious health situations,
yes.
to do things within the food realm mm-hmm. to ameliorate, to lessen some of the symptoms of these pretty harsh treatments.
Exactly. We do need our doctors. You know, if I have something traumatic happening, I want a doctor who knows trauma care and things like that. But the long-term chronic disease care, they monitor and maintain symptoms. They don't fix symptoms necessarily. And chemo and cancer treatment is one of the big areas. They don't necessarily advise on nutritional support for your body. And when you're in chemo and radiation, your body is being drained. And you need to be pouring in the extra nutrition to support your body. I've actually had a client who was going through the radiation treatment, and the doctor thought she was in denial and needed an antidepressant because she wasn't feeling the typical symptoms of a radiation treatment patient, because we had corrected her diet and were supporting her nutritionally for energy so that she could withstand that treatment in the process.
So these things can work together.
Oh yeah.
Side by side. Mm-hmm. That even though we're taking some pretty harsh medications mm-hmm. to overcome a disease, a situation that needs, like cancer, mm-hmm. that with proper nutrition, proper food, mm-hmm. We can make it a better experience.
Yes.
By understanding how the body works.
Right. I want to join the team to help you be healthy. I'm not the only one, but I can be part of the team that will support you in a more rounded way.
So when people are going through health issues, this is an excellent time to consider diet. It's not, let me get through this thing, and when I get through, I'll see what I can do.
Right.
But actually, it can affect the journey itself through a pretty tenuous time in our lives.
Exactly. You actually can shorten the process of the disease by changing and supporting with diet. You get a cold, it doesn't mean you have to have that cold for a week or 2 weeks. It can be dealt with in a short term when you provide the body what it needs to boost its ability to fight back against the virus that's attacking.
Well, certainly everything and every malady that we suffer with our bodies cannot be traced back to food. Sometimes it's just a genetic illness. It's a bug. It's a virus. It's a flu shot. It's something that's harmed us in some way that we have to deal with. But proper food, proper coaching to edit the choices in our life can certainly make all this a lot better and a lot easier to deal with.
Exactly. A lot of people think that if it's genetically in your family, you know, this family, my mom had it, my grandpa had it, all this sort of thing, it's just an inevitable. But actually, the genetics load the gun. Your lifestyle and your eating patterns pull the trigger.
Oh, wow.
So you can turn things around and not follow the path that the family has followed in the genetics. By changing things, genetics can be turned on, genetic expression can be turned on and off based on the food you eat and the lifestyle you live. So we can change things. If you've got a history that's scary in your family, let's look at it now and see what we can do to correct what you're doing now so that you don't walk into that path later on. It can be done.
Well, that's an interesting picture to talk about the predisposition, but not necessarily the trigger.
Yep.
That diet can be the trigger to do this thing. So it puts us more in control of our lives, more in control of what the future might look like.
Interestingly, the whole field of epigenetic study, which is affecting the genes and the way they're expressed on, turned on and off, comes from the study of bees. When bees are in the larval state, they are all the same. What defines the bee as growing up to be a queen or a drone or a worker is what it's fed. That is the only difference that changes what a bee becomes, what type of bee, what his job is what it's fed. And that realization in the study of bees launched the study of epigenetics, which has shown that there's 10 different markers that they track in our health and as we age, and 7 of those can be reversed just by diet and lifestyle.
So it depends which one you feed.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've observed and read about is that there's a lot of medical conditions today that just didn't exist 100 years ago and 200 years ago. When people lived on the farm, they were eating out of the gardens. They were eating stuff that they had prepared. They knew where it came from. Very little, if any, pesticides. There wasn't a wide use of chemicals. But today we fight a lot of things that maybe this is just more evidence that what you're telling us about what we take into our bodies affecting who we are. Areas of dementia, areas of heart disease, areas of cancer. You know, I just don't remember as a child, and that was a long time ago, but I just don't remember as a child hearing that much about some of these things that today seems to be epidemic.
Far more common, yes.
Yeah.
Autoimmunity is one that has grown in tremendous ranks. When I was young, you were young, there were 4 common autoimmune diseases. Now there are over 80 that are named.
Wow.
And a disease is named just based on its collection of symptoms. The autoimmunity requires 3 different things in order to actually happen for a disease to become a reality in your body. That is an epigenetic disposition or a genetic disposition. Intestinal permeability, which means that in your small intestines, they're no longer tight junctions, but things have loosened up and bigger particles than a molecule can slide through into the bloodstream, which causes the body to react with an immune response. But then the third one is a genetic or a trigger, an environmental trigger. And that trigger can be having a baby. It can be a car accident, an emotional loss, or something that happens nutritionally and in your body. A lot of people that have autoimmune diseases are just told, this is how we're going to maintain, this is how we're going to monitor and keep up with you. But they're not told that it can be reversed, and it can. You can heal the gut. You can heal the small intestines. And you can work on putting, you know, turning off that genetic trigger and then resolving the emotional issues that went with the trigger, that the environmental trigger that happened, and heal a body. It's not a fast thing. It's not going to be quick like taking a medication that shuts down a symptom for a time. But you can totally reverse and heal autoimmunity with the right approach.
That's just amazing. Well, Kel, this is all interesting. We're talking about physical diseases. We talked about cancer. We talked about what we can do to make our lives better and function in a better way in a physical sense. But, you know, in the same way that I didn't see so many things when I was a boy, it seems like there's a whole lot more childhood behavioral mm-hmm. type situations that than we had before.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this all falls in the same category?
I do. And there can be different reasons for an issue such as ADD or ADHD, whichever way you call it. Most kids are a little bit ADD when they're little. They're just energetic and curious, and they, you know, some more than others. But this is actually what prompted me and launched me into nutrition was working with my own son, who I realized as I homeschooled, I listened to a Focus on the Family panel discussion one day of parents with ADD kids and realized they were describing my son. And I wasn't ready to take him to the doctor and get him diagnosed and put on a medication. I wanted to look at other options and other choices, and I had the freedom of being with him all day to be able to monitor changes we made. And so I started off at the library, because this was back before the internet. And I found a book by Dr. Benjamin Feingold called Why Your Child is Hyperactive. He was a pediatric allergist who had discovered that as he removed foods from his patient's diet that they were allergic to, it tended to slow their activity and calm them down, and they were able to come off medications for ADD at the same time. So I decided to follow his protocol for 2 weeks' time, where the whole family changed over to eating foods without artificial colors and artificial flavors. That was his primary focus. Those are preserved by salicylates, which is the common allergy that launches ADD behavior. And sure enough, in 2 weeks' time of eating foods that were not did not have all those artificial colors and flavors, my son was a different child. And I could tell a tremendous change in him. He was able to sit still in a chair and do his math instead of having to stand at the kitchen counter because he couldn't sit in a chair and do something like that. When he went off to play with friends, if he got something like Kool-Aid or, you know, something with artificial colors or something in it, I could tell by the time he came home in the door that he'd had something, and we needed to kind of work to get that out of his system. And so I do believe that a lot of our colors and flavors that what do we typically feed our kids? Jell-O, candies, Fruit Loops, Kool-Aid, all those things that are artificially colored are common parts of our kids' diets. And if your child is sensitive to it, they may become hyperactive.
Well, the beginning of our conversation, we would talk about the necessity for adding color to your diet.
Not that kind.
We're really talking about natural color and
yes.
not artificial. Artificial color
right.
should have exactly the opposite reaction in our thinking
mm-hmm.
to the natural color of peppers and the green things and all of the good veggies that we enjoy.
Right. It's if you and the key is reading that label. Read the nutrient label and the ingredient label. If you see red dye number such and blue dye this and yellow dye this, walk away. Put it down and walk away. It's not going to benefit you. Even if you don't have hyperactive tendencies, it's not benefiting you. That is another chemical going in your body that your body has to work to detox and process.
Well, you know, it's summertime. Has just passed, and kids are getting back to school, behavioral discussions probably become more common as the teachers send little notes home and things like that. So rather than talking about medicating our children, we really need to talk, we need to take a serious look at their diets, what they're putting into the bodies, what the school is even putting into the bodies. You know, the school cafeteria, I'm not saying that the food's not good, but we need to be concerned that maybe that one thing on the plate or one option that they have, a gelatin product with a dye in it or something like that, soft drinks, might be contributing to some of the behavioral issues that our children are facing as they get back to school and the teachers are now dealing with them 6 and 8 hours a day.
Exactly. And think from the child's perspective of how frustrating that is for them when they're being constantly corrected and they really don't know why they're acting the way they are. It's not something they're choosing to do. It's just something that's driven from inside, and they don't necessarily have the ability to control it.
Well, Cal, this has just been another eye-opening conversation with you about the value of understanding, the value of understanding, and for some, the value of having a coach help to improve the quality of life, not only in dealing with sickness, but also the quality of life for our children, that we're doing the right thing by them. It made a major change in your life.
It did.
That it brought you to a new profession that was quite different from where you started as a CPA, I believe.
Yep.
That you use that analytical brain of a CPA to be able to figure out what needs to happen for our bodies. So.
It's my passion to help people discover how good they can feel in their bodies.
Well, great.
It really can make a difference, even at our age.
Kelly, how can folks find you?
They can contact me through my website, pursuewellnessforyou.com. They can email me at kelly@pursuewellnessforyou.com, and that's all spelled out in words. Or they can call 985-768-8898, and I'd be glad to talk to them about how I can help.
Well, I know you've helped many, many families here in our community going through lots of different situations. And I would just add a recommendation that if any of these things are a part of your life and you feel like maybe there's something you can do listening at home to improve your situation, give Kelly a call. I know that she'll do well with you. So, Kelly, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 985-250-1037. Send us a text. Leave a comment. And anything that Kelly said today that might be of interest that you want to look further into, we'll be glad to pass on her contact information to you. You can also like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, or check in on our website, www.graceradioofslidell.net, where you can make tax-deductible donations to support this station. We need your financial support. Again, give us a call at 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voices of Slidell Daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.